Our opening carol today is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. This is based on Luke chapter 2 verse 14 and tells of an angelic chorus singing praises to God. As it's known in the modern era, it features lyrical contributions from Charles Wesley and George Whitfield, two of the founding ministers of Methodism, with music adapted by Felix Mendelssohn. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And now, a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it is so difficult to find adequate words to thank you for sending Jesus to make it possible for us to have our sins forgiven. We think of the miracle of the incarnation and steadfastness of Jesus in his resolve to be the sacrificial lamb, even though we are undeserving. We pray, dear God, that you will recognise in the fervour we sing the carols to honour you in this time of worship how grateful we are to you. May the radiance of the star that led the wise men to Jesus never cease to shine, so that those who have not accepted Jesus will seek and find him as their saviour. And by the thrill of our own relationship with Jesus, may we be always ready to share with others the wonder of your willingness to make heavenly eternity possible for the world. This we ask in the precious and worthy name of Jesus. Amen. Once in Royal David's City is a Christmas carol originally written as a poem by Cecil Francis Alexander. The carol was first published in 1848 in her hymn book Hymns for Little Children. A year later, the English organist Henry John Gauntlett discovered the poem and set it to music.
Once in Royal David. Thank you.
A poem, Wise Men. The star was shining brightly, but it was far away, and wise men had to travel day after endless day. How could they be so certain a king was waiting there? So confident, they bore gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. No band of holy angels were seen their way to guide. That single star kept shining, no clouds its light could hide. Through eastern lands they travelled, the infant king to find. God chose them first to welcome the saviour of mankind. But if they had protested, the sign was much too vague. Had doubted God had spoken and in their homeland stayed. Who would have told the story of God's incarnate son, the baby in the manger, and what man could become? All heaven rarely opens, revealing God's great plan. A single star led wise men to find God's precious lamb. Today, God's signs may differ, approaching Christmas morn, but God still calls all wise men to tell that Christ is born.
Joy to the World is a carol written in 1719 by the English minister and hymn writer Isaac Watts. The carol is based on a Christian interpretation of Psalm 98, Psalm 96, verses 11 and 12, and chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, verses 17 and 18, and is usually sung to an 1848 arrangement by the American composer Lowell Mason. Joy to the World. A poem, Why Jesus Came. In a lowly cattle shed, in a manger rude and bare, a baby lay a-sleeping. What was he doing there? His parents held the secret of the wonder of his birth, of why he came from heaven to be with us on earth. The baby had no knowledge of the reason why he came. His task was for the future, unable yet to reign. His parents were his teachers of the things that he must know. God trusted them to teach him, in them his nature show. And now today God trusts us to declare that Jesus lives, his mission is completed, and he salvation gives. The carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, was written by Phillips Brooks, who was born in Boston in the United States of America in 1835. He became successively rector of the Church of the Advent in Philadelphia and Trinity Church, Boston, before becoming Bishop of Massachusetts in 1891. His carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, was written for his Sunday school in 1868, the author having spent Christmas in 1866 at Bethlehem. And the music is by Henry Walford Davis. O Little Town of Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Amen. What carol service would be complete without Away in a Manger? It was first published in the late 19th century and used widely through the English-speaking world. In Britain, it's one of the most popular carols. In fact, in 1996, a Gallup poll ranked it joint second. Although it's long claimed to be the work of a German religious reformer, Martin Luther, some think it likely to be wholly American in origin. Be that as it may, one of our favourite carols, Away in a Manger.
Poem, Come to the Manger. Come to the manger with us to worship Christ as King. He comes to bring salvation as heavenly angels sing. Come to the manger with us in reverence and in awe to see the incarnated, the child who Mary bore. Come to the manger with us and come on bended knee. For in the child called Jesus is God's divinity. Come to the manger with us in quiet, holy fear, to recognize in Jesus the Word of God is here.
We have now Ding Dong Merrily on High. The tune first appeared as a secular dance tune in a dance book written by the French cleric, composer and writer Jehan Tabura. The words are by the English composer George Ratcliffe Woodward, and the carol was first published in 1924 in his Cambridge Carol Book. Woodward took an interest in church bell ringing, which no doubt aided him in writing Ding Dong Merrily on High.
Thank you.
We have Handel's wonderful music telling the news of Christmas and the birth of a son. For unto us a child is born. They are Isaiah's words, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And who can fail to be stirred by the music and the words, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born. A poem from God. I send you the babe in the manger, my gift out of love for you all. Take care of him, please. He is precious, the child in the Bethlehem stall. His task is enormous and complex, the sin of the world he must bear. And even if he is rejected, consider how much I must care. From grandeur in heaven I sent him, where angels his bidding obeyed. The offer with which I entrust him, you'll see in his life is displayed. I send him because he is sinless, a pattern of all you can be. Released from the bondage of Satan, forever from sin to be free. I give you my Son as your Saviour, no other your sin can atone. In him is the way of salvation, in Jesus and Jesus alone.
Thank you.
When it comes to Christmas, I suppose we tend to remember the Christmases of the past. No doubt we remember presents which are special to us. I have one such Christmas present which was given to me many years ago. It's a simple scarf. It's now old enough to be an antique, and its monetary value is perhaps worth just a few pennies, if that. But to me, it means such a lot. You might wonder why. Well, it's not just the gift itself, it's the reason behind the giving. My wife and I first met 70 years ago. We used to cycle to school together all those years ago, and the scarf is the first present my pre-teenage girlfriend gave to me. As I look at it today, it reminds me of a love which was expressed in a gift. As we grow from childhood, while we are still grateful for the physical presents people are kind enough to give to us, we understand and appreciate what we come to realise are blessings, and they can be as special, if not more so, than any material gift. And they don't just come at Christmas. As we grow up, we replace the figure in red with the white beard who delivers thousands of presents in a single night in a sleigh pulled by a reindeer. We replace him with a truly omnipotent God whose provisions bless us. Christmas reminds us of the gift God gave to us, which, if we accept it, blesses us over and over again. When we accept Jesus, then Christmas comes for us every day. Whenever we feel blessed, rather than just thankful for a gift, it's because we've accepted the gift God offered us, Jesus. It makes every day Christmas. Allow me to give an illustration. Life isn't always easy, is it? I'm sure you will have had your fair share of worries and concerns. But if you've had the experience of receiving Jesus, God's gift, you will know the blessings of his hand upon you in your difficult times. It may not mean the difficulty magically disappears, but you will have experienced a presence which gives you strength to manage the problem. It's the present of God's presence. And when that happens, it's directly related to the day when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. When we accept him as a saviour, it's not just the 25th of December, which is Christmas. For the Christian, Christmas is every day. The non-Christian can buy up a whole of a department store to celebrate on December the 25th. And of course, it's nice to be on the receiving end of being given a lovely gift. But receiving the gift of Jesus will outlast any material gift. That's not to say we should turn into an overnight Scrooge and tell people if they won't accept God's gift, then we're not giving anything. Our generous nature, one of thankfulness, can often lead people to understand we love giving because we've received the greatest gift of all, Jesus. When I first became a minister, the very first week I had to conduct a funeral. To say it was challenging would be an understatement. How could I find the words to comfort a distraught husband? He was bereft with grief. Yet in those moments, it was Christmas Day, because the gift of God, Jesus, was there to comfort and to remind the man he would walk with him into what, for the husband, was an unknown future. And the blessings in that chapel overflowed to me too, as I experienced what it was to receive the help and guidance for the man through the words Jesus gave to me. And the grieving husband knew what the meaning of Jesus coming at Bethlehem meant when he placed himself in God's hands. And though human grief and sadness were very real, we knew what Christmas meant. Without Jesus coming to earth for us, in such situations, we would be without hope. A little while after the funeral, I received a bookmark. It was from someone I had never met, and the words on it asked me to always remember why I had been called into the ministry. The fact that the lady had been led by Jesus to bless me by her thoughts and prayers remind me that whenever I look at this bookmark, I received it only because Jesus came to earth to be my saviour. Whenever I'm reminded of that, it's Christmas I'm celebrating. As we get older, perhaps we can get preoccupied with our health issues, and at this time in particular, we're naturally concerned about the effect of the COVID pandemic. But I'm heartened by what the Bible says. Let me share with you, please, these verses from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 32. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now, we're not actually told how old Simeon was, but he must have been getting on a bit, because it says he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, Jesus, of course. It reminds me that we're never too old to receive Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thought? When Simeon took Jesus in his arms, this old man received the gift of God. And he could have sent a Christmas card to friends and family with his words, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I would like to think that as you are sharing in this service today, or as we could say, you have come into the temple courts, you will sense God's Holy Spirit revealing the wonder of what happens when you receive Jesus. And from that moment, again and again, you'll be blessed and blessed and blessed. Blessings which come from receiving Jesus. And the reminders in the form of blessings from other Christians will mean that you will enjoy 365 days of Christmases. As it happens, at this very point in my preparation of these thoughts to share with you, our doorbell rang and a delivery lady gave into my hand a parcel. I hadn't ordered anything, so I was surprised and made sure it was for us. When I opened it, I discovered it was some hyacinths, which over the weeks as they come into bloom will bless us and bless us so much. They came from someone who had received Jesus, God's gift to her. As she blessed us, it was a reminder that it was because of Christmas we were once again blessed. And when we are, it's Christmas Day all over again. When we receive a blessing, and every day through our family and friends and God's provisions, it happens by God pouring out his love for us, just as he did at Christmas. Every day becomes Christmas Day. In every blessing, Jesus is born anew. It's Christmas Day every day. I'd like to ask you to celebrate the coming of Jesus to earth by finding ways to bless your family and friends so that they enjoy Christmas far beyond December the 25th. As you get older, you might wonder if you're just a bit too old to begin being a firebrand evangelist. Well, let me tell you about a lady called Joan. She lives in Sheffield in the United Kingdom, and she's now nearer 90 than 80. Since she retired, she has been blessing people by making bookmarks with encouraging scriptural words. Since she's retired, she's made over 3,000 bookmarks. They are gifts which come from a lady who has received into her heart the gift of Jesus. And the lovely bookmarks she gives are a reminder not only to receive the gift of Jesus from God, but also to encourage us to tell others that the greatest gift they can ever receive is Jesus, God's gift to the world. Those who receive this service on CD will receive one of those bookmarks, and as they're used, may it be a reminder that it's Christmas Day, every day, whenever you receive a blessing. If you access the service through the internet and you would also like one of Joan's bookmarks, I'll gladly send you one. And if you have accepted Jesus as your Saviour, as I know many, many of you have, a very happy Christmas to you today. This and every day will be Christmas, a day when you continually accept the presence of Jesus in your heart and believe and experience that he's promised to be with you forever in every circumstance. Today and every day is Christmas for the Christian. Let me pray that as you receive a bookmark blessing, you'll carry with you and share with others the wonder that today and every day is Christmas, because Jesus has promised to be with us forever. Let us pray, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, for the difference only he can make in our lives. Help us to recognise that because he is ever present in our hearts, the gift from you, dear God, means we can enjoy not just the thought of one day in Bethlehem, but every day just where we are. Amen. May I wish you a very happy and blessed Christmas today.
And there
Our benediction. May the light of the star which led the wise men to Jesus ever shine for you and through you, that those who meet you will recognize you have come to them from the presence of Jesus. Amen.